You're listening to Let's Get Legal with John Hansen, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association and sponsored by attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan and attorney John Heggie from Heggie Wachner Law. Now, here's John Hansen and Let's Get Legal.
At 109 on WGN, trying not to choke on a cough drop while I talk. I probably shouldn't have
I'll put one in my mouth immediately,
right? Right during that opening tease, I'm like, you know, this is a good time for a cough drop.
It's why your face is turning red and you look like you can't breathe.
Hello, everybody. It is a gorgeous Saturday afternoon. Not quite as warm as we've had the last couple days, but we'll take the sunshine out here today. We're with you till 3 o'clock, and this is our normal time. We've been bouncing around a bunch, and we will again next week. But that's okay. We'll celebrate being on from 1 to 3 here this afternoon with a great lineup. Patrick Dolan is an employment lawyer with Conti and Dolan, and John Heggie from Heggie Wachner Law Firm comes in the 2 o'clock hour. Patrick, what do you do, and take your time to describe it while I finish this
First of all, John, I just want to, you're still in full Hawks attire. Is that from last night, or have you changed since then? Just wondering.
I have changed.
You look a little scruffy. I'm just wondering.
Wow. I had a great jacket on last night that a lot of people loved and complimented. Thank you, Patrick.
Not the one you're wearing right now.
Not what I'm wearing right now. No.
Just want to be clear.
We have a season ticket holder event at the Museum of Science and Industry, which is just one more example of why people should become season ticket holders, because they're exciting games. It's fun. They're building a great team, blah, 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 all the really great on-the-ice reasons.
Yes.
But there's a lot of great benefits. Often and one of them is the party at the Museum of Science and Industry, which is going to be so much fun. But I will be there in attendance in my I'm wearing a plaid-like salute to Lumberjack.
Over a Blackhawks a Blackhawks t-shirt.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just wondering.
You don't like it?
No, I think it looks great. I'm just wondering if you literally wore that last night.
No, I didn't.
I know it was a long night for you. That's what's
wondering. Yes. I have pride in what I wear and how I present myself, even though you don't seem to think so. So what do you do, Patrick?
I'm an employment lawyer.
Okay, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I help folks with anything with regard to workplace issues, getting a job, leaving a job. You know, maybe they have some questions about discrimination or retaliation or compensation, and a lot of non-compete related questions too. Can I go to this next job? You know, if not, why not? So anything to do with the workplace.
And again, it ranges from even good news, getting a new job, right?
Yeah.
And it ranges to the bad news when you're losing a job. There's just a lot of moving parts in those places. And you kind of have to be your best advocate as an employee or former employee, right?
Yeah, you do. And people just ask me questions all the time, like, how do I handle this situation? Like, my boss is not treating me fairly. What do I do about it? You know, who do I talk to? What do I say? How do I say it? Just a lot of advice and counseling, or maybe, you know, I didn't get this bonus. What do I do about that? Is it illegal? You know, my commission plan, I should have got a commission. I didn't. So a lot of advice before, for example, a demand letter or, you know, claim is filed or something like that. Just a lot of advice going into workplace issues.
Right. Because not getting a bonus may on its face not seem like something illegal. But if everyone else did and you always used to, maybe there is something there. Like, I think a lot of us don't have any idea whether it's just an annoying thing that's happening at work or if it's crossed over the line.
Yeah, and part of it is what did other people get, for example, in that bonus? But then also, what does your agreement say? Does it, you know, is there a lot of discretion afforded to your employer to not pay you the bonus? But then even if they didn't pay you pursuant to that discretion, why? You know, why did they exercise it that way? It has something to do with you. You know, your race, your gender, your age, whatever it is. So there's just a lot of, you know, stuff to talk through and a whole bunch of different compensation and workplace issues.
Every state has its own set of laws. Obviously, we have federal laws as it relates to workplace setups. Illinois seems to, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of go above and beyond. I guess it's seen by a lot of people as a great state for employees. Would you agree with that?
For the most part, you know, New York and California are better. But I think Illinois, compared to the rest of the country, is definitely more employee-friendly when it comes to a whole bunch of different compensation, protected category discrimination, like sexual orientation. We have a whole long list of protected categories that a lot of other states don't have. So federal law protects, I would say, minimally. And then states like Illinois add on a whole bunch of different stuff. But in terms of compensation, Illinois is a really good state for an employee.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we can debate certain policies and certain issues, but the protected classes, which you're referring to, like sexual orientation or identity, that those protections don't exist in a lot of states.
They don't exist. And, you know, it used to be that they didn't even exist under federal law, though now that's changed a little bit. But you still have to rely on state law for a number of those protections, protected categories that just don't exist under federal law.
Yeah, I mean, just to put a finer point on it.
Sure.
In 2019, a lot of people could still be fired for being gay. Until a landmark historic ruling by the Supreme Court essentially saying that from coast to coast, LGBT people, Q people are protected from employment discrimination.
Yeah, and that's a change in federal law. Obviously, you had a bunch of states
already doing it.
Yeah, already doing that, right. But to your point, that was not federal law, so it did not happen everywhere. As you can imagine, there are a bunch of states, frankly, most of them red states, that did not protect from sexual orientation discrimination. So, you know, that has been eliminated now with the federal law on that.
It just seems like that would be such a crazy thing to even think of today.
Know,
but it was like 3 years ago. Like it
I know, not even that long
all
ago.
That
right.
Long ago. Right.
Right. Exactly. And people were just shocked when I said, oh, you live in, you know, fill in the blank red state. You're not protected from sexual orientation discrimination,
right.
Retaliation. They can fire you because you're gay. That just, you know,
right.
It's ridiculous.
Not the case anymore, though.
Nope,
so that's
not
good.
Anymore.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We would love your calls on maybe you got laid off recently. We're sorry to hear that. Let's talk through what happened, the severance package. Were you part of a group layoff? Maybe there was something quirky there. Or maybe you were feel like you were targeted for that. Maybe you were treated differently at the workplace and it just doesn't pass the smell test. Or you're wondering if it does. 312-981-7200. You might be surprised. Patrick has some answers for you. A lot of hiring still going
yeah.
on. The job market's still strong, Patrick.
It's strong and stable. And anecdotally, we see that in the folks we're talking to, a lot more contracts than separation agreements. Listen, people still move jobs, but
right.
the big layoffs have really seemed to diminish in the last couple of months especially. And, you know, people are moving because they want to, you know, more than they were before versus they had to because they're getting laid off or whatever it was. So from our perspective, we really are on the front line seeing the comings and goings, and it looks, you know, a lot better than it has for a while, frankly.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-332-7800 is Patrick Dolan's number. You mentioned those layoffs on Your Money Matters. I think it was Thursday night. These days, no idea what day it is, basically. But we had someone talking about the tech industry
mm-hmm.
and the layoffs in the tech world.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of asked, like, okay, we see all these massive layoffs and Facebook or Meta, whatever they call it, they're still laying people off. Are there a bunch of unemployed tech people? And the answer is no.
No, the answer is no.
They find jobs at either other tech companies or at companies that need tech-minded people.
Right.
And that's just kind of the economy. It's not that there aren't layoffs and it's not that people aren't losing their jobs. It's that when they do, sure, they may be unemployed for a bit, but there is still enough openings as of now to kind of move people around.
Yeah, that's definitely what we found too. So I think people are less concerned when they go through those big layoffs as to what they're going to do next. And oftentimes it is a smaller tech company. Maybe it's a startup. Maybe they start something, you know, with a couple of folks they worked with at wherever they were. And they talked to me about going through the whole startup process and what that looks like in terms of equity with their partners and compensation and all that kind of stuff. So I talk with them about that too. But it's just, I think it's not as dire as it used to be when you have these group layoffs.
Right. The 847 texted in, the hotel I work at was recently bought by another company. The new owners cut all the shuttle drivers' pay to $14.25 an hour. Can they do that? I followed up to ask where this is because
yeah.
that's important.
Right, it is.
But if that's above the minimum wage for the jurisdiction,
it's fine. I mean, you know, if
it's not, it's wrong,
no.
but it's
I'm saying legally
legal.
Speaking.
Just,
right.
I'm covering for you, Patrick.
Thanks.
I don't want to make you
friend.
Seem like Ebenezer Scrooge. Like, yeah,
that's fine. They can
do
pay
it.
Them less.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, it's not. You're right. It's not fine. But as long as they're paying minimum wage, you know, the new company acquiring a hotel or whatever it is, they can reduce their salary unless there's a contract, you know, a union contract or just a contract generally with that person where they can't. They can. I mean, they really can as long as they're paying minimum wage.
All right. We got some callers calling in. We got some more texts rolling in. 312-981-7200. Get those in now. More with Patrick Dolan. We're here till 3 o'clock. Patrick Dolan. Well, Patrick may stick around to help me with my voice.
Sure,
with John
happy
Heggie,
to.
But he'll be here.
We'll just
with
switch
him.
Chairs. You can just.
Yeah, no. I'm not giving up the chair. Not giving up the control of these buttons. Like right now, I'm going to turn yours off. And we're going to hit a break on WGN. All right. 121 on WGN. It's Let's Get Legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. That was a powerful cough drop, Patrick. Oh, I got to turn your mic on.
Okay.
Are you okay? I sound pretty good now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty good. I woke up this morning and it was like squeaking voice.
Yeah.
To the point of I had a panic attack thinking that I had permanently damaged my golden pipes.
Would that be bad for you as a radio guy?
As a radio, TV, podcast, and Blackhawks host?
Sounds bad.
Yeah. I should get voice insurance.
Then you'd have to go to law school.
Yeah. Can you hire me if I lose my voice?
No.
Wow. Strict no. I'll go to Karen Conti. She will.
Yeah.
She could beat you up anyway. 773 wants to know, does the sexual orientation laws, the protections we were talking about, just to recap, Illinois for a long time has protected sexual orientation for firing or discrimination. Federally, they ruled a few years ago in the Supreme Court that even if your state didn't have that as a protection, it applies. Does it apply to small companies, Patrick?
It does, yeah. Under state law, Illinois law, it does. All you need is one employee, frankly, for those protections to be afforded to an employee.
For all the categories?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. An employer is defined as someone who has one employee. Unlike federal law, it depends on what you're talking about. It could be 15 or 20 or under FMLA, 50. But under state law, one.
Okay. 773 says, try gargling with lukewarm salt water.
Mom, I think that's what my mom would say.
Even for like a hoarse voice just from overuse, I'm not sick or anything. So
I hope not. I'll text my mom real quick.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
All the moms out there, 312-981-7200, I need your remedies. Okay. Let's go to John on line one. Hello, John. How are you today?
I'm good. I have a question. Yep. I'm over 60 years old. I have cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And recently I have it's all good. It's fine. I found out early. But because of that, I have some different stipulations. HR is aware of them and has no problem with it. But recently I have a new boss, and he's asked me on two different occasions how old I am and when I'm thinking of retiring.
Mm.
And he's also, along the way, I've never gotten below an exceeds or above performance in my review. Now I'm kind of getting called out on every little thing.
Interesting. So you feel like maybe he's trying to open the door and let you walk on out of it?
Well, I think they'd be very happy if I left, yeah.
Patrick, are there any protections there? Go ahead.
No, yeah, but, and there's a couple of different things. Obviously, age discrimination, which protects people over 40. If he can continue to do his job like he always has and he's successful at it, then there's no reason to have any discussion about retirement or try to push him out. That could certainly constitute age discrimination. There could be an issue under the Americans with Disabilities Act regarding his cancer, but that really depends on the treatments he's getting or the symptoms of the cancer itself as to how it's affecting his ability to do his job and whether he needs an accommodation. Does he need time away? Does he need a reduced schedule for a while? So there's two very different issues going on. But as far as age discrimination goes, talking about retirement, if he's doing his job well, like he seems to be, there's a totally inappropriate discussion.
So like him, the boss, asking, when are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? I mean, is that illegal for bosses to kind of like poke and prod you? Or?
Yeah, but that's just one of probably many things. If they're trying to push him out or push him into retirement because of his age and has nothing to do with his ability to do his job, then that is an age discrimination problem. Okay, so that I take that. That is probably, John, not a standalone comment. Like, you know what I mean? Bosses usually say, when are you going to retire, and then drop it. There's usually a lot more going on there that is evidence of possible age discrimination.
That's not cool, John. I'm sorry to hear that.
So what do I do? Just wait until it happens and document everything, or what?
That's a great question.
Yeah, this is a great question. So I would say I do not plan to retire. There's no reason. I like my job. I'm doing it well. I have no plans to retire, given my age. If that's the way you feel, then you should convey it to HR and your boss in an email and then ask for a meeting. Respond in writing and then say, hey, I really want to talk with you about this. Let's talk about it. But in the email, say, I have no plans to retire. I love my job and I do a great job and I'm not retiring.
I love that, John, because I think this is one of those things that you could maybe have that meeting, have that email, and then if you still notice it, going on, that's when you would call like a Patrick Dolan.
And then actually, John, then it becomes a retaliation issue as well as discrimination, because now you're asserting a possible age claim, and then if you're terminated, you have retaliation on top of discrimination.
That makes sense, John?
Yeah, kind of, I guess, and I don't mean to be... I don't know what the word is.
I'll come up with it.
I get HR's paid for by the company. They work for the company. If I say my boss is doing this, that, and the other, I feel there's going to be different kinds of repercussions, and that now my boss is on the radar. He's going to get called out. He won't do it again, but he'll make my life a lot more difficult than every other aspect.
John brings up a great point. Like, it's like, how far do you push? When do you push? Because you worry about what comes on the other end, Patrick.
Listen, I totally understand that. I totally understand that, John. And retaliation happens all the time. I'm not certainly naive. I talk to people almost every day about retaliation scenarios. But here's the important thing. You need to make these issues known to them, preferably in writing, or else you're not going to have a retaliation claim. It's not just termination. If you suffer a job detriment, like they don't invite you to meetings, or they reduce your responsibilities or your job duties, or whatever happens to you after you make those comments, that's evidence of retaliation. Now, I get it. People don't want to go down the litigation road or have to file a charge or something like that. But in order to protect yourself, you need to say that. Otherwise, frankly, the alternative is don't say anything and then kind of suffer the consequences. Then if you are terminated, you don't have a retaliation claim.
Yeah, John, I think they're going to be pushing this. If it's adding up and it's more than just one or two comments and it's starting to affect his performance reviews, I think you're at the point to get some documentation down.
100%.
Raise this concern to HR. Yes, they work for the company.
Of course.
Absolutely.
They do.
But now you've protected yourself from a legal perspective. You're giving a paper trail for someone like Patrick to be able to bolster a case if it comes up in the future. Got to look out for yourself, man. All right?
Yep. I agree.
My review's in 2 weeks. Should I wait?
No, you shouldn't wait, actually. I would not wait until your review happens. I would do it now. I would do it before your review.
John, we appreciate the call. A lot of great questions there. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in here before the news. Tom, you're on WGN. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, how are you? Real quick, I don't want to bore you guys. I work for a company, big company. Okay, been there for a bunch of years, blah, blah, blah. The facts are this. We're on a point basis there. You get 7 points every year. I'm sure you're familiar with this. A lot of companies do it. Just for example, let's say I don't come into work, I don't show up, I don't call. You get hit 3 points, deducted. So now you're down to,
4 points.
Right. So now you have 4 points that last you for that year, the calendar year, January to December.
Right.
Okay. You get a flat tire. There goes 2 points. You follow me?
I got you.
We're with you.
Okay. They give you warning letters, take in a room, beat you up, say, better be good or else, we get warning letters, you've been notified, whatever. Here is the argument that they keep sidestepping, and the union also. We keep telling them, so if you have had just a bad year and you're down to 1 point or 2 points, let's say, okay? And you're a good person, you're an employee, just things happen to you, to all of us, within a year, okay? Now, I wake up and they go, hey, I don't feel good.
Interesting. Tell you what, Tom.
You call in.
Right, and then that's going to deduct your point. Tell you what, we got to pause here. Tom, you can either stay on the line or you can just wait and listen to the answer because we're up against the news. Patrick, think about that one.
Sure.
We'll have some follow-up questions for Tom. It's a good one. I know a lot of people on these point systems that kind of lose their mind over it and lose some sleep. But we'll do that after the news here on WGN. 1:36 on WGN. It's John Hanson on the Saturday afternoon. Let's get legal. We are powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We have Patrick Dolan here, employment lawyer for Conti and Dolan. And Tom is on the line. And just to recap, Tom works at a place where there's the point system. 7 points in a year you start with in January. And you lose points for no call, no shows, or other things along those lines. And if you got one left, you wake up in the morning, you're feeling sick, what to do? Now, Tom, do you have, sick hours that are part of your job?
No. They just go by days. But the thing with us is, during the COVID-19 thing that was going on, they were telling us, listen, if you don't feel good, common sense, you don't want to spread it, stay home.
Right.
So, if you call in sick, you get 2 days off, and you're only dinged 1 point. Okay, that's the way they look at it.
You're dinged Tom.
Right.
You're dinged a point for taking sick days that are allowed for you to take?
Right.
And by the way, also protected under local laws. We have sick time that is protected under local law. See, that's what I was thinking about over the break, because there are certain things that you can be quote unquote dinged for and your points reduced if it's a no call, no show, et cetera. But You can't be dinged for things that are either protectable under local law, which sick time is now, if you're in Chicago and are also you, Cook County, or wait, let me finish real quick.
I'll stop.
Or a violation of his collective bargaining agreement because he says he's a member of a union. So you have to differentiate between why those points are being assessed against Tom.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you have sick time,
it seems retaliatory to me. It seems illegal, actually.
Yeah, like, what happens if you were really sick in January and you have a doctor? Do you get dinged if a doctor's note if you take like 3 days off, Tom?
Okay, no. So, but you're still no matter what, you pick up the phone, and now it's not even a person you talk to. You pick up the phone, you talk to an automated system, it takes your file number, the date, you know, all that stuff, and it verifies. Okay, we've recorded. You've called in. Employee sick. And when you go to work, get on the system, you know, and take a look what's going on with yourself, it'll show you've been deducted a point. And it'll tell you you're down to 6, 5, 4. Now, imagine this. You call in sick because you're legitimately sick.
Right.
Okay? You just don't feel like getting up and spreading something, or just you're not able to go to work. Now, let's say you feel better 2 weeks later, a month later, you call in sick again because something happened. You're taking a point again away from you.
That's
You got to look at the sick leave policy also, and your CBA, and then also there's legal protections for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem right with regard to the sick leave issue at all.
That doesn't pass the smell test. Tom,
doesn't.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Someone wanted to know, like, when would be a good time to ask while you're a potential employee, if a company has a ding policy for points. Someone just heard about this point system and goes, when I'm being interviewed, how do you politely bring up, like, what's your policy on sick time and points, and how do you, like, what's a good way to ask that question to an employer so you know what their policy is going to be?
Yeah, I think it depends on where in the interview process you are. If it's literally like a screening, I'm not sure I would ask it at that point because that seems too detailed. You're trying to figure out things that are much higher level. It kind of depends on how the conversation goes. A second interview, etc., absolutely. You want to find out stuff like that because then it's clear they're interested, you're interested, you're going into greater detail. But if it's a screening, I'm not sure. I don't think it's a good idea to ask questions like that are so detailed.
Okay, second interview. Here's how I'd ask.
Okay.
I want to ask a couple questions about the workplace culture. How is discipline administered, and tell me more.
Yeah, you're not getting that job, John. Sorry.
I need another cough drop.
I was going to say, are you okay? no, you don't want to ask it like that. But you could generally ask about, you know, handbook policies, stuff like that.
Ask someone else that works there.
Yeah, you could do that's probably the best way to do it.
They got points
just be
in this
careful.
Place.
Right. Don't lead with that.
Yes. Hey, I'm going to be.
How'd you get this job, John?
Yeah, I'm going to be across from you at the cubicle. they're going to ding points if I don't show up. 219 wants to know, and this is in relation to we were talking about the asking if you're going to retire soon.
Okay.
Can your employer just ask you just generally, like, what your plan is if you're thinking of retiring so that they can plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's okay. As long as it's not like really trying to force you out, you know, like, when are you retiring? Jeez, you're old.
So it's not illegal for them to go, hey, by the way, do you have a
plan to retire? No. I think that question is perfectly fine.
A lot of people chiming in about the point system, naming out some companies I'm not going to name on the air that do it.
What are they saying?
No. And just that, yeah, this exists. My daughter took off for surgery and you get points deducted. That seems crazy.
For sick leave.
I'll tell you about the name of the company during the break, and maybe you'll get it. It's a little different.
But then there's also protections. Could be under the FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act. You know what I mean? If you have a serious health condition, and then that seems retaliatory for sure. Being dinged for taking FMLA protected leave. There's just a lot of things that I think are problematic here.
217 says we need to change the philosophy of if you're a laborer or staff in a company. Versus you are my property. These are your coworkers who are humans who need to be supported and not penalized for using provided benefits.
It seems draconian.
That does. I'm snapping.
I know. I like this.
312-981-7200. 815 says stressed vocal cords need rest. I do know that. And tomorrow I'm not going to talk.
Are you gonna,
the
just
whole day.
Go silent for the next 20 minutes? I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, they need some rest. 18 minutes. Go, Patrick.
Right.
Tell you what, 312-981-7200. You can call us right now. How can people reach you, Patrick Dolan?
312-332-7800.
Let's get some more texts. Let's get some more calls, people. What's going on at work? What are you noticing out there? What are the trends you're seeing? Are you under a non-compete and wondering, gosh, I really want to leave this company. What's going to happen with it? Is it enforceable? Maybe you have you're in a sales job and you have a bunch of customers, and there's a new company that's luring you over and you want to bring those customers with you. Maybe you got a question about that. 312-981-7200. 773 wants to know, how do you deal with employers not treating all employees fairly? The employer makes us work 48 hours a week, and fellow employees get away with 35. Ooh.
Well, it could be an overtime issue, depends. But, you know, the fair question. That's tough because there's so much unfairness in the workplace. The question is it illegal or just unfair? You know, that's right. Not illegal. It's not you're not basing on race or age or disability or something like
that. Let's assume everyone in this situation is salaried.
Okay. And exempt. Like they don't, you know, just because you're salaried doesn't mean you're exempt from overtime.
But you're exempt because you're making X amount and maybe this is management or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that some people do it in 48 hours and they're expected to be there or they're asked these extra tasks. Other people are 35. Could it be illegal? Does it only cross the threshold if there's a specific trait that is the same for people that get to work 35 versus people that get to work 48?
Great question. Generally, yes. It has to be if you're being treated worse because of one of those protected categories, right?
Race, religion, sexual orientation, identity.
Like 20 of them.
Military,
military service, on and on and on. Then, that's an issue. But I think the much harder question is, what if it's not? What if it's not at least overtly one of those protected categories? If it's the same job and you're like, wait a minute, I am working 45 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Someone over here is working 35, same job. You know, if it's really bothersome to you, I think you should talk to your boss or HR about it and say, listen, I just don't think this is fair. Why is it we both have the same job, yet we're paid the same, yet I have to work so much longer than the other person? I think that's a legitimate thing to bring up.
And it's not that you want to make that 35-hour worker have to work 40, although you probably do it deep down, but it's like, why would I have to be 48?
Yeah, but the company should want to address it, because if you're unhappy and they presumably want you to stay, and you're not going to stay because you're doing all the work, you know, it's just an issue that has to be addressed, because it could turn into something. Listen, I've represented companies, and I still represent companies. They would rather know, because small things tend to turn into big things. You know, maybe it is, maybe the person's going to say, geez, maybe it is my race or age or gender or whatever it is. Companies don't want that. They'd much rather be able to sort of nip it in the bud, address the issue. You know, most companies do. Some don't want to hear from you, but most do.
Right, and they may actually have a problem with your immediate boss that's allowing that. And they may want to talk to that boss and say, look, you're creating an environment.
Yeah,
where...
and that happens all the time. Bosses in HR, there's like a rub there, and the boss is the problem. HR is trying to do the best they can, but, you know, it's the boss, so it's tough.
630 wants to know, hello, I work for a large publicly traded company that appears to be violating labor law posted in the break room. You know how you have to post those things in the break room?
Yeah, makes those posters without
so it seems like the 630 is reading this poster and going, wait, hold on. This is a line up. Is it my responsibility to let the company know, or can I keep letting the company violate the law, then use it against them during a layoff or a severance situation? Or would it make sense to get a law firm to potentially litigate against them right away? If there's a lawsuit payout, would I be eligible for compensation on the punitive fine? A lot of questions going
on
there.
That's like 4 questions. Okay. Is it your responsibility? No.
No.
But if it affects you, then you can either bring that to their attention, or I guess you could wait, and if you're terminated and you know that has something to do with it, it could be a retaliation claim, or that illegality could be the reason for your termination. I don't think that's a great way to go, personally, waiting around to get fired just so you can assert your rights.
Right.
But, you know, people come to me all the time and say, listen, the company's doing this wrong, whether it be the way they're paid, for example, like a wage issue, a leave issue, and like just so many different things. And I'm like, does it affect you? If it does, then let's see if we can remedy that and get you some compensation for that. If you suffered harm, right? So that's the preferable way to go. I'm waiting around until something bad happens. Doesn't seem like a great thing to do.
I agree. in principle, but I bet, like you said, a lot of times people do come to you and go, well, I got fired. By the way, this company did X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, they do. Oh, absolutely.
Right? That happens all the time.
Yeah, and oftentimes it has nothing to do with their individual circumstance. I know the company is engaged in these illegal things or this, you know, Medicare fraud or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Their business practice is illegal because of these reasons. Has nothing to, like, I'm going to, can that help my situation? It depends what you want to do with it. I don't really think it helps if you're claiming you're terminated because of discrimination or something. If it's completely different, then I hesitate a little bit. Okay, what are you going to do with that? Is it just leverage to get more money? Will that work? Honestly, not usually.
No.
Yeah. So it depends on what you want to. But people think all the time that's their lottery ticket, right? Oh, I know they engage in this sort of business fraud.
Yeah, I've got it.
Right, I've got them, blah, blah, blah. First of all, most of the time they don't. What they think is like a good whistleblower claim or something like that.
Isn't.
Or I'm like, you know what? Like, you got to be prepared to go down that road with that claim as well. And it's got to be relevant to you.
If there is a lawsuit payout, this is the last question.
Yeah.
Am I eligible for compensation on the punitive fine? You know who knows a little bit about this is Mike Leonard.
Mike, yeah.
Because
Mike's
he's
great.
Not only a federal defense attorney, he also is a whistleblower lawyer.
Yeah.
And boy, I hope I don't butcher the way he explains it. He represents people who blow the whistle against claims that do eventually involve payments to the federal government.
Like a QTEM action?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, you said something I have no idea what that meant, so I just said sure. But I know that the federal government does, the whistleblowers do get payouts. Part of the payout for that is an incentive to blow the whistle.
Absolutely, and it's a percentage of what the government collects.
It's like 30%?
Yeah, it could be.
Something like that.
Yes, it could be, yes. It depends. The rates are different depending on the claim and how long you're involved and how much money is involved and stuff like that. But, yeah, some people, frankly, have made a lot of money doing that. But that's a tough road, as Mike will tell you. That is a tough road to go down. You have to have a really good claim. You have to have the U.S. attorney or state's attorney's office pursue that on your... I mean, it's tough. Or if it's a securities issue, you know, the SEC. So it's not like, hey, I know this. I'm going to make a lot of money. That's not.
You can't make a job out of it.
No.
I'm going to be the person that goes
I don't want to dissuade people, but it's not a lottery ticket most of the time.
Right. You should do it for the good of the country. Not to defraud the government, and if you get paid for that and that's your incentive, great, but it's not going to be your ticket to a lake house.
It's just really hard.
Immediately. It just takes a long time.
Right.
All right, 312-91-7200. Tell us a little bit about some of the cases you got going on in terms of compensation or
non-solicit,
stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can take another cough drop. Maybe that'll help. Focus. So I get a lot of questions on non-solicits these days, and let's just talk about a couple of threshold things. So if you make less than $45,000 a year, a non-solicitation cannot apply to you. What's a non-solicit? It is something that prohibits you from soliciting employees you used to work with to come to your new company, or prohibits you from soliciting customers or clients to work with you wherever you go. That's tough as a salesperson because where you're going, that company's probably very interested in you bringing all those folks with you, or at least going after their business. But you have to be super careful about what you do, and you have to have a conversation with your prospective new employer. Listen, here's the agreement. Let's talk about this. Is this a non-solicit? I typically represent the person, so I talk to the new company's lawyer and say, here's what I see. I don't think it's enforceable, or it is enforceable, so we have to be really careful. And then the whole thing is how you handle the transition. You know, you could have an obligation to your old employer to provide the new employer with that non-solicit. That could be in your old contract. That often is in your old contract. That's where we start. So people are like, I don't want to tell the new employer. You know what? Tell the new employer.
Tell them,
yeah. Because you'd rather clear up the issue, make sure you're on the same page, you know, set up your job when you're coming in so that you're not violating a non-solicitor, non-compete if those are enforceable. So I get that issue all the time. People have to be super careful about that transition. It all starts with what the document says with your old employer.
Sounds good. 630 wants to know, work in Illinois, salaried. Can your company tell you that they don't pay for your lunch break and make you work 9 hours, saying you get a half-hour lunch and 2 15-minute breaks? So you work 9 hours, you get a half-hour for lunch, 2 15-minute breaks. So that's an hour of break, 8 hours of work. You're there for 9 hours. Does that seem right?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yep.
Could be annoying, but
yes,
that's the way it goes. I want to read this text. Okay. Our Dawn, who texts a lot in the show, she said, like the show, ask one thing. We had the caller that had cancer that called in and feels that his job is making him not feel at ease. And Dawn is just kind of bothered by the fact that he has cancer, and she's talking about how it makes you worry about your job and the burden of tomorrow. And it was a really nice note that Dawn sent, basically just kind of wondering, Patrick, if Tom, I believe his name was, would call you. You, of course, would take his call and answer. And that's why we told Tom,
right,
try to talk to your boss first. But I guess the long way I'm getting here is Dawn is just basically saying, would Patrick, like someone, reach out to people like our listeners? And you do. And listeners call you all the time.
All the time. And, you know, for obvious reasons, mostly on Monday and Tuesday. You know,
right. After the show.
Yeah, after the show, right. They'll call me over the weekend. I'll talk to them Monday and Tuesday. But, yeah, this is exactly how it happens. And I'm happy to talk to people. Yeah, they just call with situations like this, and they're like, how should I handle it? And I'm happy to just talk with them and walk through those issues. They're really sensitive. Listen, these are stressful, sensitive issues. And people are just like, I don't know how to deal with this.
Right.
Even if it's not illegal, I don't know what to do. And so I'm like, okay, let's talk about it, and I'll help you walk through it in a way that you're comfortable, but that protects you to the, you know, to the best of my ability within the job.
So just know, Dawn, that we told Tom just to talk to HR first to see what happens, and if he continues to face more roadblocks, I hope we made it very clear, and I think we did, but we can always reach back out, or if Tom wants to call again, to know that he can call Patrick, and Patrick will chat with him about it. And I love Dawn looking out for our other listeners.
I know, that's great.
Right? That's
super nice.
WGN so nice. You wrote this really kind note.
We're just a big family, John.
We truly are. I mean, that's what I love about WGN. I grew up listening to the station. It's an honor. It's a thrill to get to host on this station.
Grew up on Bozo the Clown on TV,
right?
All that kind of stuff.
And here we are, getting to talk on it. Let's try and get one more call in before we continue to wax poetic and start crying.
Okay.
Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, you're on WGN. Daryl, what do you got for us?
Yeah, hi, guys. I worked at a huge company. They're still around many years ago for 5 years. It's a period where, yes, in 5 years, you were vested in a pension.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got older, I called. I said, hey, you know, I never heard from you guys about a pension. You know, it's a few bucks. It was 5 years. But anyway, they said, we cannot find your records. We don't have any record of you being an employee. I'm like, oh, and this is a huge corporation, which I won't mention on the
Yeah, please don't.
Anyway, I pulled out all, I have every pay stub. And so when I sent them in, they said, oh, well, yes, that was a period you know, there was pensions available for 5 years, but for some reason you don't qualify. I said, you know what, send me a letter confirming that, why and what reasons. First of all, you couldn't find me as an employee.
Right.
Now you're telling me that I wasn't eligible, and they've never sent me a letter. Do you think I got anything to go after?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you do. So I'm really concerned. So first of all, when did this happen? When did you work there, and when did you contact them?
Okay, well, yeah, this is going back a few years.
That's 75 fine.
To 80, I contacted them, and it's a huge corporation.
Right.
Also, another point of this, the reason we were terminated, there was three of us because we tried to go union, and they terminated the three of us and sent us up with another company that was union for the transportation part.
That's probably a whole separate.
Little,
so, Daryl, you worked there 75. Yeah, that's a whole other issue, but the statute of limitations is probably gone.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
or anything that.
Yeah.
But 75 to 80, and when did you reach out to them? Like this past year?
I mean, several times I've reached out and asked for a letter and then I dug up all my paperwork and I sent the first pay stub in and the last pay stub, which was the 5 year category, and never got only phone calls. They said, oh, well, you're not eligible.
Right.
And I said, well, how could I not be eligible? First of all, you couldn't find me. So
right.
How did you determine that I'm not eligible?
Hold on 1 second, Daryl. You heard that loud tone. That means I got to go to news. Patrick, can you wrap this up and maybe take this offline?
Yeah, I think I should. The claims could be time barred. That's a long time ago, but I'm happy to talk.
Yeah, but if he worked there for that pension, he should be entitled to that pension if the company's still
there. Yeah, but every claim has a statute of limitations, John. You know, to
even for like a pension that was part of your career?
It's covered by federal law. So, yes, it's possible that it's time-barred, but I'll talk to Daryl.
You'll talk to Daryl. Daryl,
and I'll let you know.
You'll let him know.
Yeah,
keep Daryl on the line. We're going to do this during the news break. John Heggie has already taken his seat over there. I was just talking about Heggie Walker Law Firm.
Yeah.
He's going to stay. Patrick might hang around a little bit. Is that okay?
Of course.
My voice
we'll just see how you go.
Sounds good.
I'll just push you out of the chair and take over.
Yeah, you're asking me when I should retire because my voice is a little low here. Okay, I'll stop talking. Time for the news.